During his 15th International Apostolic Voyage, Pope Benedict XVI yesterday evening held his first Holy Mass on Portuguese soil for 150,000 faithful. Veronica Skersberg reports.
Gusty skies and water, water everywhere. That was the backdrop for Pope Benedict's altar, framed by the great river Tejo that flows through Lisbon. The cheering drowned the sound of the foghorns, the squawk of the seagulls. One could barely hear the choir singing the welcoming hymn, Bem-vindo, expressing their delight that O Terceiro Papa, the third Pope to come here from Rome, was there with them in Lisbon before going to pilgrimage to Fatima, the spiritual heart of their seafaring nation. And in his homily, the Pope referred to that past.
Glorioso é o lugar conquistado por Portugal.
Portugal, he said, has gained a glorious place among nations for the service rendered to the spreading of the faith. In all five continents, there are local churches that owe their origin to Portuguese missionary activity. When he began speaking, the crowds, 150,000 strong, spilling over to the neighboring squares for lack of space, listened in silence in the impressive square of the venue, the Terreiro do Passo, meaning Promenade Esplanade. And in this square on the waterfront, the Pope highlighted how in times past the departure of Portuguese seafarers and evangelizers neither impeded nor severed their bonds with their faith, referring to the Christian wisdom with which they'd accepted cultures other than their own, with an open mentality, showing strength of mind, he insisted, rather than apparent weakness. A cultural and religious identity, the Holy Father noted, that the Portuguese can provide in the context of the European community. Let's recall for a moment how this nation defended its Christian roots while co-drafting the European Constitution.
Jesus Christ, assim como se uniu aos discípulos o caminho de Emmaus, assim também
Benedict XVI then went on to focus more specifically on the local church. We know, he said, that it is not without its quarrelsome and even rebellious sons and daughters, but it is in the witness of the saints that the church finds her most profound joy. Role models, then, for these quarrelsome, rebellious sons and daughters. Highlighting, then, the pastoral priority for all Christians today, inviting them to be radiant witnesses of the gospel within families, culture, economy, and politics. Often, the Pope remarked, we take for granted that faith exists, a notion regrettably less than realistic, going on to question ecclesial structures and programs in the distribution of powers and functions, remarking that excessive trust may have been placed in them. To avoid this happening, it is necessary to proclaim anew with vigor and joy the resurrection of Christ, an assurance that no adverse power will ever be able to destroy the church. And all the while, on a height on the opposite bank of the river, the giant 50-year-old statue of Cristo Rey, Christ the King, stood tall behind the Pope on a height, arms outstretched. And when the Mass ended, Pope Benedict marked the 50th anniversary of the shrine there, built by the Church to respect a vow of thanks for Portugal not entering the Second World War. And for the rector of this shrine, the Pope had a message which was directed to the young, asking them to take example from the bishops and faithful Christians of that time who respected a vow made, leaving us in sculpture a symbol of their love and gratitude for the preservation of peace in Portugal. And later, when all ended, the Vicar of Christ on Earth opened his arms to young people gathered outside the Apostolic Nunciature, his rest place in Lisbon. These future generations, who may not have been allotted a dedicated time in the course of this apostolic journey, took it upon themselves to personally meet the Pope, uninvited. With the Pope in Portugal, I'm Veronica Skersbrick.